Habakkuk chapter number 2. I'm going to give you the message first, and then we'll just support the message. You know, in verse 4 of chapter number 2, Habakkuk, a simple verse here, and the Lord really spoke to me about something, and in verse 4 it said, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." There are different passages in the Bible that said the just shall live by faith. But this particular passage said the just shall live by his faith. One thing the Lord really spoke about when I looked at this passage, and those of us that are on this Bible reading schedule, we send texts of accountability to each other. And the Lord had really had this verse stand out to me. And I sent out, I said, don't let what anyone says or what you see, if anyone says or what you see in someone else, distort, distract, or discourage the faith that God gives you. If your faith be true, stay true to your faith. You know, because what tends to happen with good people, I should say people with good intentions, if there's none good, they really want to walk with God. But many times, God will give them a vision of faith right from Him. And then they begin to listen to other people. They begin to watch other people. If you're a new Christian, it's especially good that you don't watch other people too closely. It's good to keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what can happen is, what was once a dynamic, what was once an exciting, what was once a thrilling, what was once an empowering life of faith can be distorted, and really, just like the wind taken out of a bag, all of a sudden, there's no faith. Because you begin to look at other people's faith, and you begin to gauge your life with other people's faith instead of living by your own faith. In fact, I think one of the passages Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. But we see here in the Bible, the just shall live by his faith. We'll look at three simple thoughts that will help us. I think they're really, to where you realize, I hope you can see this is really an empowering statement, because God didn't say anything vainly. Number one is the person of faith. And the person of faith. In verse 4, it starts to say, but the just. Of course, a just person is a person that's right in the eyes of God. And the only way you can be just in the eyes of God is to be saved, be born again. And so, under the person of faith, if you have been saved, or if you have faith, you have been, number one, you've been saved. Because the just shall live by faith. And now, think about that. If you have faith, you've been saved. Live by the salvation that you receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. Live by that supernatural experience. Live by that release from sin. Live by that clear conscience that God gave you that day. Doesn't matter what anybody else said. Live by that. In Matthew chapter 1, you know, the place we'll be back in just a moment, we see the reality of what Jesus came for. In Matthew chapter 1, and verse 21, the Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If God can deliver you from your sins, we don't need to be fearful and overwhelmed by the sin we see in the world. So if you have faith, you have been saved. Number two, if you have faith, you have been secured. You have been secured. There's no reason for us to live unstable and lives that are fearful and filled with doubt. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You've been secured. You receive peace. If you've been justified, the just, that means you've been secured. You've received peace from God. No longer are you the enemy of God. No longer, the Bible now declares you the friend of God. Even when you sin, God does not become your enemy. He's angry with it when you do things that are wicked, but He still wants to resolve and fix it. You have the advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous, and so you are still secure. You're never removed from being a son of God just because you do that which is not pleasing in His sight. You have a secure life. Live by that secure life. Now, if you have been saved, you recall the day that you've been saved. You recall that time. You recall that security that God gave you when He made you one of His very own. You recall that for some reason, the Word of God and the messages that you heard, all of a sudden, when you were coming to the place where you were fearful of death, wondering what would happen next, you found yourself secure because of what the Word of God says and the Holy Spirit says. And you believe in that to, would secure you for not just for a day or for a week, for a month, but for an eternity. You are secured by that. Live in that security. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. In verse 21, it says, "Now He which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us." Now sealed, when you seal something, you generally, you protect it for further use. You preserve it for further use. And you set it apart so it can be used at an appointed time. He said, "You have been sealed and given, who has sealed us." So that's another form of security. When you want something to last, you seal it. You sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is what secures you and comforts you. And say, you know what? I'm no longer going to hell. I'm no longer the enemy of God. I'm no longer separated from God. I am now one of God's children. I'm secure as one of His very own. Live in that. Live. Now, if you have faith, you have been secured. You have been saved. In the same chapter, same book, rather, chapter 5. Chapter 5. In verse 5. "Now He that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Again, the Holy Spirit given to us, securing us. What happens because of that? Well, verse 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Well, what's the confidence of that? Well, the confidence is that if by chance something happens in this world that removes me from this body, man, I'm with the Lord. The confidence is, so that means there's no fear of walking in the will of God. There's no fear of doing those things that are pleasing in His sight, even if persecution comes, if danger comes. Because as long as I'm in this body, I'm absent from the Lord. But if I lose this body, I'm present with the Lord. Verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Those are things we like to do. As we already testified, people we like to see saved, things we like to see happen for the glory of God. We are confident that the best thing is better for us to be present with the Lord. There's security in that. And if you have faith, that means you're just. God says, live in that. You don't have to live an emotionally unstable life. You don't have to live a roller coaster life like most people in the world do. And even if someone professes themselves Christian, they live like that. You don't have to live like that, because I want you to think back again to the salvation day. Was it not a secure day? If you're saved, did you feel secure that day? I mean, were you saved that day? Wasn't there a peace that day? God says the just shall live by that. That's not something that was just a one-time shot that wears off like ibuprofen or Tylenol does. He says the just shall live. And we're centered in Corinthians. The next thing, if you have faith, you have been sanctified. You have been sanctified. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse 9, the Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But now notice verse 11. But such were some of you. Now notice what he said about you now. But ye are washed. Are is a present tense verb. State of being verb. Ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Your state of being is that you're sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If you have faith, if you're just living that, live in that sanctification. Live that God has cleansed you. And, you know, and think, I want you to think about it this way. You know why so many people don't go forward in their service for God? It's just like something, my wife has knitted these really nice washcloths that we wash the dishes with when we wash them. Praise God, we have a little dishwasher, but sometimes we do have to wash them. But you know, occasionally, when those washcloths, or dish, whatever, I don't know what the correct term is, but you get the picture. When they get dirty, you don't use them. You no longer use them to wash dishes because they're what? They're unclean. And so you cast it aside until it can be clean or washed through the washing machine. But God says that the state of being of His children is that we're washed. We're set apart. He says it right here, Jesus' state of being verbs, ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God always has something that we can do. Now, we are limited if we are in sin, but at the same time, God really has set us apart. We're always, as long as we have breath in this life, there will be some type of way God can use us for His name's sake and His glory. Because, if you think about it, as long as we have breath, we have that opportunity. I believe the Bible says about the sin under death, and so He would remove us. If it's that bad, He eventually would remove us, and then we know it's over. But as long as there's breath, there's space to repent and opportunity to serve God. And so we're set apart. Leave your past behind. Let those failures go. Let believe that in reality that ye are washed. You know, I was somewhere the other day. Well, like I said, with me the other day, it could be 2 days or 10 years. But it was actually, I think it was last year, toward the end of the year. I was studying my Bible somewhere, maybe at a restaurant. I can't remember what it was, but I remember being in the washroom. May even been the library. That part didn't matter. And I saw a guy there. I went in to wash my hands, and he was standing right there in front of the sink. When any water running, he was washing his hands in the air. You know, he was going nowhere. I mean, I had time to go to the washroom. I had time to wash my hands for real, and he's still there. You know, I mean, I felt bad for the guy, but you know what? That's the way a lot of Christians live their life. Immobilized. I'm not clean enough yet. I'm not clean enough yet. I go forward. I leave this place, but I'm not clean enough yet. I do more for God, but I'm not clean enough yet. But you're washed. You're sanctified. God says, live in that. The just are supposed to live in that. Live in that. That's the just shall live by his faith. Now, when you were saved, did you not feel clean that day? Is there a witness in the house? All right, amen. I mean, if something I said, man, conscience clear. As you heard a thousand times, I mean, that the glow on my face, I walked in the house and said, whoa, I'm free. Amen. I was clean by the grace of God. And God says, live in that. Live in that. And understanding, I did not cleanse myself. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. The just shall live by his faith. Now we're stirring up things that were part, if you have faith, if you have been saved, these were things that will be common to every single person. Walk in that. Don't be distracted by what somebody else is doing. Don't be discouraged by what somebody else is doing. Live in that faith. Live in the faith. Number four here. Letter D, or whatever you want to call it. You are also, if you have faith, you have been strengthened. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power to become the Son of God. Now, when you receive that power to become a son, that means you have the power to now reflect the characteristics of your Heavenly Father. Carl, I got bad news for you. As close as we get, you'll never have my jump shot. Because you're not one of my children. And not that you care about having a jump shot. They would do well to have your calculus ability. And they probably could do that too. But I'm just saying, anyway. But all I'm saying is, that's a characteristic in athletic, something they carried through my genes under them. But you know what? You do have the power. Once you receive Christ, you do have the power to live like Christ. You have power to do the Father's will. Guess what? You have power to love your enemies, because God doesn't ask you to do anything that He will not empower you to do. You actually, believe it or not, you have power to lose your life, because God is love. And God asks you to lose your life so you could find your life, because He wants to bless you. You have power to give like Jesus gave, because God wants to bless you, because He said it's more blessed to give than to receive. You actually have power to love, because God is love. And when you receive the power to become His son, you receive those characteristics of your Heavenly Father. You have power to have temperance, which is self-control, because that's a characteristic of your Heavenly Father. You have power to be long-suffering. You have power to be gentle. You've been strengthened. You've been made a new creature in Christ. And now within you are the characteristics, the power to bring out the characteristics of your Heavenly Father. Now, some will be obvious from the moment of birth. When I was at, I mentioned being at a banquet with Morgan the other day, they said he looks like you. Someone, now he didn't look exactly like me, but they see at 1 year of age immediately some of the characteristics of his father in him. Some will come more and more over time. And at birth, immediately there are certain characteristics of your father that are in you. Some will be developed more and more over time as you allow them. Just as some of you here saw Morgan's kind of, well, you've seen him before. You've seen him crawl on the floor. You've seen him stand and just, and now you, some of you saw him walk tonight, really without hesitation, go over anything. Some of you saw him crawl up, just think to you, you know. All these things is growing, developing more and more. And you think about this. These are just simple, basic things that his father did. Walking, you know, I walk without even thinking about it. And after a time, there will be many things that, as a babe in Christ, it seems so hard to conceive that you'll just do without even thinking about it. Strengthened. If you have faith, you have been strengthened. Behold, now you are the Son of God, the Bible says. You have the strength, the power to be able to do the things that God has asked you to do. You know what God says? Walk in that strength. Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6, not by might, but by power, but by thy spirit, say the Lord of hosts. The power, the Spirit of God is that power. We cover that insecurity, the Holy Spirit in you, purging you, guiding you, leading you. You're strengthened. But you know what? So we look at God's will and we look at what He asks, and I can't do that. That's because you're not walking in His or your own faith. Didn't you? Remember, if the day of salvation, remember how weak you felt, how burdened down you felt, and all of a sudden, you felt strengthened, you felt alive, you felt renewed. Is that right? Was that just me? The weakness and the game, there was a strength and there was a vision before you that, wow, God is real. God can do anything. There's a joy that was there. You strengthened. And strengthened over your own mind. I want you to think about that. That's the most important thing. Think about that, because that's where you have all your battles. Remember all the thoughts floating around in your mind, all the wonderings and the what ifs and this and that. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost comes in, you get saved and you're strengthened. Wow, this is good. Walk. The just shall live by his faith. That's all in the person of faith. You're also supplied with everything. Second Peter. A verse that I quote or make reference to often. 2 Peter chapter 1. As you look there, if you have faith, you have been saved. You have been secured. You have been sanctified. You have been strengthened. And you have been supplied with everything. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Given unto us all things. Don't underline your Bible. Given unto us all things. Given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. You are supplied with everything. Didn't all mean, would all be synonymous with everything? I could have been supplied. I should have stayed true to the verse that you've been supplied with all things. So all things pertain. Is it anybody here? Are we in life right now? Just to make sure we understand the Bible. Are we in life? Is this life? Okay. I just want to make sure I understand the Bible properly. So we have, according to the Bible, we've been justified. We've been given all things that pertain unto what we're in right now, which is life and godliness. So wait a minute. See, we've been supplied with everything for this life and godliness. Now, God says, live that. The just shall live by his faith. Now think back to the day you got saved. When you got saved, didn't you feel like at that moment that you had absolutely everything you needed? Because, I mean, what was the burning heart of you? I mean, what was the thing driving you? I mean, no matter what else you had in your life, it wasn't enough. And now, the day that Christ comes in, and then you're like, wow. And just the glory of the fact that God saved you, nothing else in the world seemed to matter at that moment. Is there a witness to that? Would that be consistent? Is that right? So, we believe it at that moment, but we step away from that salvation day, and we begin, like Peter, to look around at the storms. I said, oh. And we begin to sink, forgetting that we've been supplied with all things. What? Think about your week this week. Where'd your stress come from? Think about something you needed or wanted. Something you'd like to have. Will it be money, possessions? Maybe strength? We'll cover that. Maybe so many things. Why? And you know what? In those moments, even with a weak start, I would get intention to give God the glory. Missed it. Why? Because you didn't live by his faith or your faith that you had. The only challenge I battle is when I'm thinking about, well, what about this? What about that? How's God going to take care of this? How's God going to do that? You know? But when I remember, you know what? I've got all things. You know, right now, this moment, I have needs at this moment. I have physical needs, I have present needs, but you know what? I've got all things. I've got more than Christ has. I've got a roof over my head. I've got a place to lay my head consistently every single night. That's more than Christ has. So I'm doing pretty good. So I'm supplied with all. I've got food and raiment to be content with. And I'm supplied with everything. And Jesus says, and getting back to where I started, the day I was justified, January 20th, 1993, the only thing I need in this life was for God to forgive me and save me. And when I got up from my knees and go to Bassam's office, I mean, I knew I had everything because I had Christ. And God says, the just shall live by that, shall live by his faith. Think of how much more you'd go thanking and praising God if you really believed that you were supplied with all things. Think of how much less stress, anxiety you would have. How much more you would just freely witness to people. If you believe you're supplied with all things, you would that co-worker on the job, you were burdened by the Holy Spirit of God, and you know God said, talk to that person. Which, well, but that might not go too well here. You say, well, that person's soul is worth more than my job. Now, I'm talking about when you've been led by the Holy Spirit of God. There's times, you know, you respect the Holy Spirit, you respect where you're in, but there's times you and I both know. You know it was a time you're supposed to talk to somebody at Christ, and because of some type of earthly fear, you did not. Anybody been there beside me? I'm not saying just go to work and blast everybody off by salvation. What I'm talking about, there's times, there's situations when the Holy Spirit opens that door, and you thought, but you know what? What about this? You know, well, we ought to obey God rather than man. And if you walk in the magnitude of reality that you've been supplied with all things, those fears don't mean anything. You know what some people have trouble with today? I said, man, they're so worried about tomorrow. And they say, man, I'm going to make it tomorrow. We don't have enough money for tomorrow. Man, I don't have enough strength for tomorrow. I'm barely surviving today. Well, are you in the life right now? Well, then you got all things. Walk in the joy of all things, you know. I tell you, when I start worrying about being tired, I get so much more done. But there's times, I mean, my wife knows I don't get a lot of sleep anyway, but there's times it even hits me where I start thinking, man, I don't know how I'm going to get this done. And I think, man, this needs to be done. I'd like to do this here. I'd like to do this. And the Lord just says, wait, just will you just do what I told you to do for right now? It's kind of like when I told you how I learned how to pray when I was hanging live turkeys. When I was sitting there so broken down. And I said, Lord, would you just help me for 5 minutes? And you know, can I give you a surprising truth? He helped me for 5 minutes. And I stopped after 5 minutes and I praised him for the 5 minutes. Because you know what the reality is? That could have been the last 5 minutes of my life. And then I said, Lord, since that was so good, can I have five more? And he gave me five more. And he gave me five more. And he gave me five more. And guess what? Next thing, before I know it, the last birds were coming down the line. And I made it through the day. And what I found out, he supplied me with everything. I did not think I had enough strength to do it until I realized I was in him and I had his strength at my disposal. I supplied with everything. These are common things that are part of every person's salvation. Saved from sin and self. Secure. Peace with God. Peace is yours. Washed. You've been sanctified. Sanctified, set apart. Strengthened. You can live like Christ. You can be the person God calls you to be. Supplied with everything. But understand, your idea of supply might not be the same as God's idea of supply. A lot of my idea of supply, I know what I've found out through the years, is idolatry. Because covetousness is idolatry. I found out a lot of things that I think that I need to please God and honor God with, God didn't really even want to use. God didn't even need. In fact, he could use me more if I just let him go. But when I walk in the reality of that, you know what, I've got everything. But I've got him. Every day's a good day. But the just, now see what? Now when you walk in that, there are people that don't walk in that. There could be people close to you, could be people you love, could even be maybe find a famous preacher somewhere that you follow and you respect. But God said, you point back to your day. And you live by your faith. And live in that security. Live in that sanctification that you are. Though many may not live their life set apart for sacred use unto God, you were washed. You remember being washed. You remember feeling distinct. You remember feeling clean. You remember believing that all that mattered was now you were a child of God. You weren't thinking about if this person accepted you or that person accepted you. You weren't thinking about if they thought you were okay or if they thought you were okay. You were thinking, like this one, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. And that's all. And you were happy in that sanctification. And then you strengthened. Little by little. So, well, I didn't think that way before. Number two, we look at, now that's the personal faith. If you look in the back, if you still have it, if you lost it, it won't be there long. If you look it up again, you can meditate on it later. The personal faith, that's the just. Now the purpose of faith, and we don't have to, we're really almost done because I've really already given you the purpose. The purpose of faith is to live. To live. The just shall live. Live means to abide. You need to abide in your salvation day. You need to abide in the security of God. It means to dwell. You need to abide, to dwell in your sanctification that you're set apart, you belong to Him. It says, if married couples abide in their marriage, set apart to each other, it's not something that's just certain days of the week. It's they abide. They're settled in that. I don't have a house on the other side of Toronto that I spend time in. I have one house that I've settled in with my wife. To have settled residence in any place. It means to continue. It means to be permanent. Not to perish. God wants you to... That, remember, again, how liberating that Salvation Day was? That joy unspeakable and full of glory? God doesn't want that to perish from you. God wants you to live in that. And it's the past life or time in a particular manner was supposed to govern your life is your faith, your salvation, your security, your sanctification, the strength from God, your life being supplied, everything that you need from God. That's the purpose of faith. Not just something to think toward on occasion, but to live. To live. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die, but to die is gain. Faith is not just some inspirational thing that kind of gives you a shot in the arm occasionally. No, it's to govern our being. And if you look at the person of faith, does that sound like a bad life? To be saved, to be secure. You think everybody wants to be sanctified, you know that? Everybody really wants to be set apart in some way. Do you think about that? We want to be set apart for our beauty, our strength, maybe our knowledge, our wisdom, our achievements, our goals. But we've got the best sanctification of all. We're set apart for God. We're set apart as one of God's own children. We belong to Him. Think about that. Because really, we live. And see, Satan always tries to counterfeit everything that God says is good. Satan tries to work on your mind and my mind to get us to desire to be sanctified, set apart in other ways other than the fact that we belong to Him. Strengthened, supplied with everything. That sounds pretty good to me. Last thing, and again, we're done with this, the preservation of faith. The preservation. Well, how do we preserve it? Well, that's the message that I just, for most part, preach. His faith. Going back, that if you have a salvation day, if you have been saved, those marks of that salvation, though when the world says salvation doesn't mean anything, when the world says there's no security in Christ, and even carnal Christians, when they say there's no security in Christ, you remember the security of the day you got saved. When the world of carnal Christian says there's no sanctification, it's no significance to me set apart from God, you remember that day that it meant something to your heart to belong to Jesus Christ alone. When the world says there's no strength of God, there's no strength of Him, and you can't do it, you can't be like Christ. You remember the day that you were made a child of God. And all of a sudden, in a short period, certain things begin to, you begin to think differently about certain things. You felt the reality of God in you through the Holy Spirit. When the world says there's no strength available to be like Christ, and it's impossible. You remember that day that you can't explain it, but something happened, and in your mind, you knew you were made one of His. You knew you were born. And when the world and carnal Christians try to do everything in the flesh, try to do everything under their own power, you say, no, God can do it still. I need to ask Him. You know, like I said, I'm glad that I didn't have $500 laying around in the bank to give Sister Walker. I'm glad that I could pray for it and show up and maybe be able to give it. And I thank God for that. I mean, because all things, now God, part of the characteristic like the Father is to be a giver, right? Jesus was a giver. You know, God made me a giver, allowed me to be a giver. I mean, I praise God for that. You know? God does things like that. And when I go back to my day, I got saved. I think of all the gifts everybody said I had. I think of all the talents everybody said I had. Of how good everybody thought I had it. And they're still empty on the inside. When I gave up to Christ, after everything I needed, it's like, whoa, I'm full. I'm full and feasting. You know what God said? He said, live in that. Live in that. Second Peter chapter 1. I'll close with this. Now you might write this verse down as we're turning there. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. As your faith is preserved, remember, preserve your substance. Preserve what you held on to that day you got saved. 2 Peter 1. And verse number 5, the preservation of faith. 2 Peter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So this faith we're talking about, you add virtue to it. Now, a virtue, a lot of definition, but the simplest definition of virtue is voluntary obedience to truth. That's what shows virtue, voluntary obedience to truth. So add to your faith virtue, obey, as God reveals more of Himself to you. And the virtue, knowledge, learn more so you can obey more. Learn more faith so you can walk in more faith. And see, some of you have been saved longer than others. And some of you, you not only do you have that salvation day, but you have those days after salvation that you begin to walk and you begin to expect God to do the impossible. And you believe you could do it. I was thinking about so many things. I was thinking about driving that little pickup truck that day when we had been out of work for, I think, 2 weeks because we rained out every job. And it started raining. The guy was coming back at work. And I remember putting the truck over the side of the road, crying out to God. I said, God, will you please stop the rain? I don't know if He did it for me or not, but He did. He stopped the rain. Now, according to my faith, what you ask and pray believing, you shall receive. I know He could have stopped it by me asking. And He can stop it for you. Because Elijah was a man of like passion like you and me. Now, some of us say, well, no, God doesn't work like that. But all things mean all things. So you know what I have to do? When people say that, I have to live by His faith. My faith. But I've seen God provide in those things. I've been there when the Holy Spirit says, give it all away, and God, allow your needs to be taken care of. I've been there when God said, deny yourself, and you'll feel full and complete. I've been there when God said, lose yourself, and actually my life gets better when I stop thinking about me and living for me. And so I have to live by that faith. Imagine anybody else does it. I've been there so many different times when we had nothing. And all of a sudden there was something just because we asked for it. When there was no way. God made a way. God said, live in that. Right now, this ministry has supernatural needs. And I'm not talking about financial things at all. This ministry has some supernatural needs. We're in a community of people that don't have any idea what it means to live by faith. And that's a tragedy. But I believe we can get it done. Why? Because I still believe my faith, the faith that God gave me, is that God can do anything. Many people in bondage, all these different hang-ups and baggage and everything that God calls spiritual, the world calls mental illness. I don't care if I'm the only one who believes differently. My faith said, no, God can take care of it. His faith. And by the way, this isn't something up here, this is something here. Faith has to be based here. Or it's not really faith at all. But he says here, so we add knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. When you know something, then you under self-control, you apply it to your life. And the temperance, patience. It's not good just to do, don't be self-controlled for one day, isn't really self-control, you know. So you have patience. You walk in it. You walk in it. You walk in it. Because live. But just so live. You live, if God so will, you may live many more days and years beyond this day. Add to the knowledge of Him patience and walk in those things. Because, you know, whatever faith is yours, there are going to be others that are not living the faith. And you will have the challenge to continue to walk in that faith, to patiently continue in it. And the patience, godliness, always stirring up to make sure you're reflecting the image of the Heavenly Father and His Son. And the godliness, brotherly kindness. You never want your good to be evil spoken of. You never want to do good in such a way that people think it's not right. And the brotherly kindness, charity. When you show that brotherly kindness, that means you just dig in till the end. That's what charity is. Read 1 Corinthians 13. It never faileth. Believeth all things, beareth all things, endureth all things. That's what marriage is, the perfect picture of what God calls charity, because that's the way God meant it to be. Permanent until the end. Because charity, there's no end to charity. There's no circumstance where you can escape charity. Because you read that chapter, well, when does charity stop? There's no end to it. And that's what keeps you faithful that Jesus Christ comes back. And that'll keep your faith preserved. Because see, the faith you received at salvation day, that security, that sanctification, that strength, and that supplying of everything, God said, you just stay with it. The just shall live by His faith. I want you, everybody needs to, if you're saved tonight, you need to really think about the day you got saved. And you need to think about the things that easily distract you from a life that's content in Christ. And you need to rebuke the devil who's lying to you and cause you to doubt God's supply, cause you to doubt God's strength, cause you to doubt your security in Christ, cause you to make light of the fact that you set apart under God. I mean, really, the day you got saved, did it mean something? Did it mean something to you to belong to God? Well, was it important? I mean, what happens to people that it doesn't later all of a sudden? Satan himself. It rebuked the devil, and if it be self that deflected you, then just repent and walk in that faith. And you will have the life that'll be like the day you got saved. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. And you can have joy. Doesn't mean you're going to have great earthly circumstances. I was thinking about Peter when he walked on the boat. I was reading that passage today. You know, when When he said Lord, the Lord out there in the storm, Peter said, Lord, would you calm the storm and make it a good situation for me to come get out there to you? No, he wasn't concerned about it. It didn't matter that the storm didn't bother him, the boat didn't matter him, the windy abortion didn't bother him. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And you know what? That's kind of like the salvation day. When you finally gave up everything, said, whatever it takes to get to you, that's what I want, Lord. Whatever it takes to get to you, that's what I want. And that's what you need to live. That's the faith you need to live in right now. Whatever it takes to be in Christ continually, Lord, that's what I want. Throw up that same surrender like you did, you got saved. And you'll be amazed. That joy, the joy of that day can be not only return, but the joy of that day can continue the days you walk with Christ. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. We thank you for these precious, precious people. Lord, I could say so much more about that, and I could just run around the room and shout all night just because of the faith that you've given. And Lord, I've talked to you, but I ask you again to forgive me for the times I've allowed my faith to wane or to weaken because of what I heard from others or what I saw in others. And Lord, I recommit to you tonight to live by the faith that you gave me. And Lord, I pray for every hearer tonight that is saved by the grace of God, that you will give them the faith to renew their salvation day and remember their salvation day and to walk in the power of that faith that they receive.